So how do you become a high-status individual? How do you signal all the right signals so that other people respond to you as though you were a figure of authority in their particular world? Well, cast your mind back to your school days. Now, if you were like most children in your school days, you will have realized there were three different types of teachers. The first kind was far too soft. He's the one who had no control of the children, and the children would basically just run riot. The second kind was far too hard, almost harsh with the children, and whilst he might have better discipline in his classroom, there was really no love lost between them, and people did things more out of fear than out of desire, and there was very little respect there as well. It's the final kind of teacher, the rarest kind, that I'm really most interested in, because like Goldilocks, his style was a perfect blend or a perfect combination between too soft and too hard. He was just right. As a rule, these teachers had a relaxed, easy manner about them, that a really easy sense of self, and were comfortable in their own skin, and other people responded to them in that way. Now, they may well have had just a powerful, if not better discipline in their classroom as the harsh people, but the difference is, this time children really respected and admired the teachers. They actually really wanted to listen when this teacher spoke. That's the kind of individual I'd like you to become. In order to do this, there are certain characteristics of high status that you really need to adopt and make part of your own physiology, your own behavior. I'm going to run through this list with you in a moment, but bear in mind that as you practice this particular list, at the end of this CD, there'll be one of the exercises which will be an instant power meditation that should help you get into these kind of behavior patterns more easily. Now, what are these behaviors of high status individuals? Well, all behaviors are characterized by a sense of calmness and a sense of unhurried purpose. Whenever you move calmly and with relaxation, people respond to you like you're in control, you know what you're doing. When your speech patterns are unhurried, have pauses, people become more interested in what might be coming right after any particular pause. Now think about it. Who has the courage to pause in the middle of a statement? Is it people who are nervous and kind of just a little tense and don't really know what they're doing? Or is it people who are calm and in control? So the first thing you'd have to realize is in order to signal higher status, you need calm, unhurried movements, and calm, unhurried speech. Because what these really allow you to do is to avoid signals of being nervous. What are these signals that people typically make when they're nervous? Well, they'll make jerky movements. They'll jump around a lot. Their attention will jump from one place to another. They'll be making repetitive motions like hand washing, like maybe rubbing their leg, some kind of a nervous tic of some sort. They'll also be using linguistic markers like and right and okay. If, for example, I carried on talking to you, right, and every time, right, I said something, right, right. Do you notice how that already begins to erode your faith in what I'm saying? These are just basically signals saying I'm less confident and therefore I'm not in charge of the situation. Now, when I say this, I'd like you to also be aware of avoiding becoming over-responsive. What I mean by over-responsive, well, sometimes people try to overcompensate for being nervous on the inside by trying to over-accentuate the signals of dominance on the outside. And typically, you'll see teenagers doing this. Teenagers will often be very sullen or slow to respond. And there's a real difference between being slow to respond to something and being reflective, taking your time to respond to something. And it's really in the attitude that you carry with yourself. Now, one of the key distinguishers is the way that you use space. Now, people who tend to be nervous will use very little space. They'll try and almost make themselves non-existent in the world. They'll tend to cross arms and legs just because it gets them out of people's ways. They'll sit very quietly in a corner on a chair or something. People who are confident and in control will use their space widely. Their hand gestures will be large, although not excessively so. They might sit down, maybe even relax back on a couch or a chair, or when they're standing, they'll be willing to invade other people's personal space from time to time. Now, when you're seeing teenagers responding sullenly and slowly, or being sprawled on a park bench taking about 5 different seats up all by themselves, that's really more an example of overcompensation. Because the teenager feels insecure inside himself, but wants to act the role of a high-status individual, they tend to go way overboard and take these signals and over-accentuate them. That's the thing to avoid. Remember that people who are high status will be very comfortable in their own skin and do these things to a very natural degree. So become an observer of people and be wary that from time to time you may well go too far, at which point just rein it in a little bit. Now the last two characteristics of personal power that I'd like to share with you. The first one is this use of personal body space, or what you open up. We are mammals, and mammals will instinctively protect 3 areas when attacked: their throat, their belly, and their groin. And this is because these areas are the softest and the most vulnerable to attack. They will create the greatest amount of damage most easily. Now, even though we live in a different age, even when we get a verbal attack, we will unconsciously protect these 3 areas. It's partly hardwired into our system. So people who are very high status, who are very comfortable in their own skin, who are in control of their environment, these people will tend to expose those very same 3 potential targets, because what they're unconsciously signaling to the world is, I'm so comfortable, I am so safe in this environment, I'm so in control that I can expose these vulnerable sections because there's no attack coming. The final characteristic is something you might well be familiar with. There's an old saying that the eyes are the windows to the soul. I'm not sure about that, but I know that they're definitely the windows to people's minds and mental states. You see, when someone's very nervous, you'll notice that their eyes will dart all around the place. It's very difficult for them to keep their eyes still. This is because the eyes are neurologically connected to the brain and the way that the brain is operating. So people who are high status, who are calm, confident, and in control, will tend to have very steady gazes. It doesn't necessarily mean that they have to make and lock eye contact, although that's a useful trait. It's not necessarily one that you have to comply with. But you will need to make sure that your eyes are constantly focused on something and aren't jumping from one focal point to another in a hurried, frantic sort of way. Keep your eye movements still and slow. Rule of thumb is, a still mind will translate into a still body. And a still mind is the characteristic of a high status authority figure. And that's how you convey your personal power.